Good morning. Welcome to each one in the name of Jesus. The one that we are to be about. How was your week? Were you thankful? Are you thankful? And as I pondered about what to preach on, thinking about Thanksgiving and the meaning and purpose in it, and being a thankful person, I got an email that got me thinking, because the headline on the email was, FOMO is real, so are these deals, and this was the day before Thanksgiving. How does this fit in with Thanksgiving? What is FOMO? I was pretty sure I knew what FOMO meant, but I actually went and looked it up just to make sure. And that was what the title was. It was FOMO. And that was fear of missing out. Is that me? Does that describe me? Do I live my life with a fear that I'm missing out? And this, of course, was from Walmart, trying to get you to not miss out on the Black Friday deals. If you don't buy now, you're going to miss out. And I get challenged every year because I am tempted with the deals to not want to miss the deals. You know, as a business owner, you want to take advantage of, you know, not spending more money for tools and everything that you might need for the next year that might be a deal right now. And it can consume a person that I might miss out. Like, if it consumes me, I'm probably not being thankful like I should be. Not being content like I should be. And then it goes, as I read about it, it actually goes a lot further, a lot deeper than that. It's something that's been coined fairly recently. I didn't actually look to see when with the whole thing of texting and messaging, all the abbreviations are especially popular in the younger culture. Sometimes I'll get a message and it has an abbreviation on it. What does that mean? And so, fear of missing out, fear of not being included in something, such as an interesting or enjoyable activity that others are experiencing. So this is kind of letting the whole Black Friday deals behind and moving on to a whole other part of life where you see things that other people are doing and it's like, why didn't they invite me? How did I get stuck at home today? And I see they're off having a good time and I'm missing out. Other people are getting somewhere in life. So, is this fear of missing out a good thing or a bad thing? Is FOMO a good thing or a bad thing? So my title is FOMO and the Christian. And I had a hard time knowing where to go for a text because it's all through the Bible, this concept, which was kind of interesting to me as I studied into it. But there's a certain place we want to end up. So that's, in essence, my text verse. But we're not going to start there like we typically do with a text verse. But we'll just go ahead and read this to start thinking about that. Hebrews 4, verse 1. There is something that we can miss out on that is more important than anything else in life. And Hebrews 4, verse 1 talks about that. There's a promise given to humanity that we can give out on, miss out on. Hebrews 4, 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So we're going to get there, but we're not going to start there. So my first main point, just two main points this morning. I'm going to start out with FOMO and me, because that's what FOMO is about. It's a focus on myself. Let's turn over to Genesis 3. It starts at the beginning of the Bible. Not long into creation, God had set up guidelines, rules, principles for Adam and Eve to follow. And what did the serpent do? He came along saying, "You're missing out." Let's read Genesis 3. Verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they were naked, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." And so here we have the original disobedience of man. And it was because they had this idea presented to them that they were missing out. And it was a lie. But Eve believed it. And Adam wasn't strong enough to withstand that influence, that temptation. And I'm going to hold up to you that it's still the same for us today. We still can be deceived, or we still can be influenced by other people that are deceived and enter into it even though we know better. So that was my letter A subpoint. FOMO originated in the Garden of Eden. And second to that is, it's native to every human. All of us, each of us, are tempted with this in our lives. And we know verses like Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is something that impacts each and every person. And you think about, you know, how this impacts our lives. This fear that we're going to miss out on something in life. And just think about how that impacts my life. It can drive material pursuits, this fear of missing out. Because if I only have the next thing, if I only have the next tool, if I only have the next vehicle, if I only, and the list goes on and on, then I could be secure, then I could make a name, then I could And we go down the list. The other thing that this fear of missing out can do is it can seek control of others. It can seek to control other people so that it would boost my image or my ease or the purpose of my life by, you know, putting other people in their place and making sure they do exactly what I think they should do. That's what fear of missing out can drive us to do. Fear of missing out is also never satisfied. It never ends. Because as soon as you accomplish one thing, as soon as your friends invite you one time, as soon as you get that piece of dress material that your friend has, guess what? It's going to happen tomorrow or next month or next year. There's always the next thing. It never ends. And I was thinking about that. God made us unique in our personalities and who we are and how we look at life. And some people always want to change. There's good things happen if things are changing. And other people never want to change. Good things are happening if they're staying the same, if you've got consistency. And I had to think about this whole concept actually can tie into that as well. How I am accepting the change or resisting the change in my life. Because I can be intent on the fear that I'm going to miss out if I don't change, or the fear I'm missing out on something if we do change. So I can have a pursuit of changing because we're going to miss out on something if we don't, or I can have a pursuit that nothing's going to change because I'm going to miss out on something if we change. And I believe there's a biblical principle that we need to have a foundation on rather than just allowing our personality to blow us around in life. Fear of missing out, I believe, has been magnified by modern technology, especially social media. Especially in what other people are doing, because we're more aware. It's always been an issue, but it's been magnified. And I'm glad that our church leaders saw that and tried to make us aware of the snares of, you know, Facebook and all the other ones that go along with that. Because it's easy to broadcast all the fun things, leave out the difficult. And I remember when I had some community boys working with me, they talked about that at length. And just that emptiness of just, they're missing out on life, and yet when they really had to think about it, that's what they were trying to portray to all their friends as well. How they had it made, as much as their friends had it made. And it was, they were coming to the awareness that really was the wrong focus and purpose in life. So the last point here before we move on is that this fear of missing out is my personal choice. I am the one that decides in my life how I'm going to relate to this, how it will affect me. And I will warn you that if it's left unchecked by Bible truth, it will destroy my life. If I let a fear of missing out run unchecked in my life, unguided by biblical principle, it will ruin my life. So my second main point is FOMO and Jesus. A fear of missing out and Jesus. And we just want to look at what are the principles that need to guide us as we grapple with this issue in our lives, this challenge. So let's turn back over to Hebrews 3 there, because we have the example of a group of people that missed out. I want to read the broader context. Fear of missing out is real in my life, but my perception of what has value surpasses what this life has to offer. That must be our foundation and anchor point. Fear of missing out is a real thing that we deal with. But our value must not be based on what this life has to offer me. Rather, we have to have faith in the eternal Word of God and build a foundation in our lives upon that. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And we'll stop there. But here we have an example of people that hardened their hearts. They knew God was making a call. God was making a way for them to live, for them to walk in. And they said, I'm not going to believe God. I am not going to walk with God. We are going to take our own path. And we know what they did. That example. And here the Hebrew writer is saying, be careful. It is possible for us to have the same attitude, to live the same way, to know the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, but not believe it, not accept it, not choose the message of the gospel of Jesus for me personally. And he says, there is a promise. There is a rest. There is a reward in eternity coming for the people that work today to enter into this covenant with Jesus, that take his teaching seriously and live them out. There's a reward for that. But we can miss that. And so he exhorts us to walk in that faith, to believe the gospel message. Matthew 16:24. Let's turn over there. What is this message? Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But here we have the principle of the example of Christ and following that in our own walk. Denying ourselves. That's not a message that I want to hear in my fleshly person. And as I think about that, that speaks directly counter to a fear of missing out. I'm no longer focused on myself and what I may or may not be getting in life if I'm denying myself, if I am taking up the example of Jesus, of the cross, of his cross, and losing my life for his sake. Suddenly an emphasis on what I have and what I gain for myself in this world, in this life, is no longer important. It no longer matters if my life is about serving God and doing the will of him that created me. So let other people wear their clothes, have their fun, do their things. This is what truth speaks down to me. And yet, I know how next week can be when I actually wrestle with the emotions that other people are getting ahead and I'm being left behind. Came across a little story of an example of that. I'll go ahead and take the time to read. A lady traveling through the southern states of America in a private carriage 1 or 2 years after the proclamation of emancipation had been issued chanced to be detained for the night in a little country inn, which stood so far off from the usual lines of travel that it was evident a guest was very seldom entertained there. She was shown into a room to prepare for tea, which was as full of dust as though it had not been entered or disturbed for years. She requested some attendance, and a poor, wretched-looking colored woman was sent to her with no apparent life or energy, nothing but utter listlessness and indifference expressed in every movement. After watching the useless performance for a few minutes, the lady said, "Auntie, I am from the north, and I am not used to having things this way at all. Now, you know, we northerners set your people free, and I think you ought to try and make things comfortable for us when we come among you. Just see if you cannot make this room a little cleaner while I go down to tea." Saying this, the lady left the room. She returned in about an hour and found, to her astonishment, the dusty room transformed into a picture of neatness. But more astonishing even than the transformation in the room was the transformation in the woman herself. She stood there looking inches taller. Life and energy were in every muscle and every movement. Her eyes flashed fire. She looked like a new creature. The lady began to thank her for the change she had made in the room. But the woman interrupted her with the eager question, "Oh, missus, is we free?" "Of course you are," replied the lady. "Oh, missus, "Are you sure?" urged the woman with intense eagerness. "Certainly I am sure," answered the lady. "Did you not know it?" "Well," said the woman, "we heard tell we was free, and we asked the master, and he blowed we wasn't, and so we was afraid to go. And then we'd heard tell again, and we went to the colonel, and he lowed we'd better stay with the old master, and so we've just been off and on. Sometimes we'd hope we was free, and then again we'd think we wasn't. But now, missus, if you is sure we is free, won't you tell me all about it?" Seeing that this was a case of real need, the lady took the pains to explain the whole thing to the poor woman, all about the war and the proclamation of emancipation and the present freedom. The poor woman listened with the most intense eagerness. She heard the good news. She believed it, and when the story was ended, she walked out of the room with an air of the utmost independence, saying as she went, "I's free. I ain't going to stay with old master any longer." She had at last received her freedom, and she had received it by faith. The government had declared her to be free long before, but this had not availed her because she had never yet believed in the declaration. The good news had not profited her, not being mixed with faith in the one who heard it. But now she believed, and believing, she dared to reckon herself to be free. And I was just challenged by that practical application in my life. The good news has come to set me free from this bondage. And yet, I can live my life wrapped up in bondage, even though this has been settled. And my lack of faith in believing, accepting, and obeying keeps it from being real in my life. Keeps me bound. So my second point is, fear of missing out and changing or not changing in life's journey is not the central focus, but rather the Word of God and an emphasis on thankfulness, praise, and service to Him. Let's turn to Colossians 3. We want to receive the gospel message into our daily walk. Colossians 3:15. He talks about putting on love, walking in love. Probably should start a little earlier here. Verse 12. "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And so we have an emphasis flowing forth out of our lives of loving each other, forbearing and forgiving, and not quarreling, not disputing, but rather supporting, admonishing, enriching, blessing each other. Why? Because it's in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for His honor and His glory. And so now when I'm tempted to dwell in this fear of missing out, instead I choose to come back and center my life and the promises of God, the Word of God, and not missing it for eternity. A fear of missing out must be transformed to a unified follower of Christ. And I'd think about what's unity. That's a whole separate sermon in itself. But unity is losing my identity, losing a focus on myself, and all about our mission of serving God, following His teaching, and just being in that example, seeking to be a blessing to everybody in life that we can for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. And just Ephesians 4, I won't take the time to turn over there, but Ephesians 4:1, Paul there says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And so, I believe an answer is found right here. Again, an emphasis. He lays it out. Walking worthy of our calling. God in Jesus has given a calling for every person He's created, which is you, which is me. A specific reason and a purpose for your life, for why you're here. And as you walk in that reason, what He's created you for, it's to bless whoever you can around you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's your calling and purpose, is to live that out day by day. And so you look for opportunities, people around you, to bless and encourage them, to reach out to them. Another little illustration here. Be actively employed. Who are the happy people in the church today? The busy people. The very first prescription that I give to a man when I find him full of doubts and fears about his eternal interest is to go to work for God. Here is a wood full of summer insects. An axeman goes into the wood to cut firewood. The insects do not bother him very much, and every stroke of the axe makes them fly about. But let a man go and lie down there, and he is bitten, and thinks it is a horrible thing to stay in that wood. So there are thousands of Christians now in the church who go out amid great annoyances in life. They are not perplexed. They are all the time busy, while there are others who do nothing, and they are stung and covered from head to foot with blotches of indolence and inactivity and spiritual death. And I was just blessed and inspired by that. The meaning and the purpose in life, just from the little example of going into the woods and laying down, and it's so miserable, especially in the South. You don't have to walk into a woods very far, sit there very long until it's time to get up and move on. But if you go in there to work and you're active, it doesn't bother you so much. And it's like that. It's so true even in life. As we get up, get busy in the kingdom and the work of God and blessing other people, it can make all the difference. Let's turn over to Romans 9 for another principle here. Rest from a fear of missing out is found in trusting God's sovereignty. Is God sovereign in your life? Romans 9:14. It's back here again to the example of people in the Old Testament. It's hard to know where to start because there's quite a few here. We don't need to read all of them. But he talks about God choosing Jacob, not Esau. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory? Even us, of whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Trying to decide how far to read here. Because he goes on to say, let's drop down to verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so here is just a little picture of God's sovereignty. We didn't get to choose many things about our life. These people didn't get to choose where they were born, what teaching or law they were under, whether they were Jew or Gentile. And so we wrestle with these things. And like is here, the example of them is they rejected it. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the plan of faith in Jesus that God intended for them to receive. And it's possible for me today to reject God's plan for my life. It's possible for me to not like the home, the place that God placed me in, the physical characteristics he gave me, the abilities he gave me, to not like the order of authority and morality that God established in the world, to reject that. What about how long you're going to live? The length of my life. God decides that. So many things that God sovereignly holds, establishes as creator that are outside of our ability to decide. And we have to decide, are we going to accept his plan and walk in it and live for him, or are we going to reject it to our own destruction? So we are never, in this life, we are never completely free from this, a fear of missing out. But it's important that we come back to the Bible and what is the most important thing that we can miss out on is what I've been endeavoring to establish for us. To let go of the fear of missing out on the things of this life that are transient, fleeting, passing away, and to hang on to the promise of eternal life and living and serving in the kingdom of God with my life. In 2 Peter 3, that benediction that we read talks about that. 2 Peter 3, verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." So that's one side of the coin, you might say. Be concerned, be aware, be careful. But don't stay focused on that, because he goes on. He says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's kneel for prayer.